Good morning, church family. Good morning. That's right, again, good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Yes.
And that is a long vacation, isn't it? We are very blessed to be here, and this is the time for us to have a high Sabbath. It's the time for us to have a look in a mirror and realize how special we are because the Lord has come down, taking our uniform, take our place to give us opportunity to be reconnect with the Lord, our Father. So at this time, we want you to look at the text in the screen, and we put in different colors. And I know that some of you already got used to the color system that I used. The orange down Jesus is every time we refer to anything has to do with God, we make that particular color. So when you look at it, you know that you're looking at something that is from God. Okay, so that's why Jesus is in that color. I am in the same color, the Father, the me. So I'm saying this because sometimes we have visitors and they have no idea why the pastor have all this color system. Is intent to bring closer to your eyes the ones who are supposed to be there, God, okay? And then, of course, why the way, which is also, I should be the same color of Jesus because the way is Jesus. But I put that color just to emphasize blue is above in the sky. That's where our Heavenly Father is right now. He's looking to us. And that's the way. That's where we're supposed to be. Why truth is in green? Because I hope it is growing inside of your heart. And life, red, because that's the color of blood, right? I know that some people say, oh, there are people that have a blue blood, right? I hope not, because they will be dead if that will be. Okay. And you notice, some of you notice that in the middle of life, there is the if. Life is always a conditional gift. Never take for granted. So every time you look at life, don't skip the if, because that's what decides if you keep it or you lose it. Pay attention to the if. If stands to also, I am faithful. So when you look in the middle of life, you say, I am faithful. That means life is forever. Okay? Now, L, life. I is. F, for, is ever. Life is only forever. That's what life is all about. The only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. I was listening to an interview by somebody very famous, very well known, and this individual was giving an interview, and he said, I am, and by the way, I'm going to make this statement here, I'm not attacking anybody's beliefs, okay, I'm just sharing information. So this individual said, I am a Roman Catholic, and he was very upset with the Bishop of Rome, okay, I never call him Pope because there is only one Pope. Papa, Abba, in heaven, okay? So he is the Bishop of Rome. So he was referring to the Bishop of Rome, and he was very upset with him. Very upset. And I was wondering, he says, I am a very devout Catholic, but I don't like that guy. And then he went on by saying that the reason why he didn't like him very much, one of the reasons, is because he went to South America, into a pagan tribe, and got their idol, and brought their idol to the Vatican. And there in the Vatican, asked everybody to bow down to the idol. And the reason why he was asking this, because he says, we need to be inclusive. We need to compromise. We need to bow down before an idol so that we show these people that we respect them as well. There are people inside of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that has the same mentality today. that we can compromise in order to accept, to embrace everything, embrace everybody. You cannot have the way. You cannot have the truth. You cannot have life if you are a compromising individual. When you compromise in the way, in the truth, in life, you end up with nothing. You act like nothing and you become nothing. And believe me, you don't want to be nothing. So let's start our message for today. Today's message, the element. Many people believe, and by the way, I did some reading for this message, and I noticed that many denominations, many, they do not include the water as part of the element of communion. They have the bread, and some don't even have the wine. Some just have the bread. Some take the bread and dip it on the wine and here, take it. But some, even inside of our own church, are skipping the water. They want only the bread and the wine. So I want to make sure that we remain biblical. So that's why we bring this to your attention again. Paul says this, everyone ought to examine themselves before they take the body of Christ, they take the blood of Christ and bring into their body. You need to make sure that the sanctuary is clean before you invite the Holy One to be in your life. And then he says this, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Let me make clear, here's what it is. You have a cup, and you want to put something for you to drink. What is the first thing that you have to look at a cup? Is it clean? Right? We have to do that. But what about if somebody hands you a cup and you see some things move inside before you pour something to drink? Are you continuing? Are you going to be careless and says, I want this one little bug. My stomach is strong enough. All that acid that is there inside of my stomach will burn this little fellow. Let me take it. It's protein anyway. We don't do this. Should we do the same thing as far as our beliefs? Because our beliefs is what is going to give us eternal life. So we cannot be careless. The elements, as you see, the water, the bread, and the wine. The Bible is very clear about this, and we'll give you more details. Here is the way. We talked about the way up. And the way up is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way up, okay? The way. We're going to bring to you something for you to think about for a while. If you have a little phone with you, if you want to take a picture after I finish the thing, there will be something like this. The way it comes, the birth. The birth is the first step that we take into existence, into participating, to be part of a community, a relationship is birth, right? Yes. All agree? Yes. Birth is when you receive the gift to participate, yes, to become, to join, to belong. Then, of course, belong is the next step. You are born, and immediately you belong to a community, to a family. And then comes the behave. Many people don't realize that the birth we come, sometimes we don't have no choice. We are, our parents decided and we come. Then there is a struggle to become. Some parents reject. Some people lose their parents. There's a lot of factors in life on the belonging part. But the behavior is a choice that we have to make. And so this is the way in life. You need to be born, to be among the living. Then you need to belong. We are born social. We need to belong somewhere. We always do. We have to. And then we need to behave, because if we don't behave, we don't belong. They will push us out. So that is the element of communion in a society, in any place. Here comes the other way, another way. Believe. Believe comes with the birth, and then baptism is, that's the birth, and then the third is belong again. So it's necessary for us in a religious community, we need to believe, we need to be baptized to be born again, and we need to belong. All right? Everybody understand so far, right? Next one. Jesus Christ, let me talk about the way a little bit. What is Jesus' Hebrew name? Do you know? Yahshua. Yahshua, or like we say, Joshua, is the another version of Yahshua, okay? What happened to Jesus before he started his ministry? He went to the desert. And how many days and how many nights he stayed there? 40. 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. There, the enemy came and tempted him, tried to take him away from his communion with the Heavenly Father. But he resisted. And then after, what did Jesus do right after he came out of the desert? He stepped on the water. He came to the Jordan. Now you go back 1,300 some years. Joshua also did the same thing. Let's go back a little bit. The people came out of Egypt. They came out of slavery. They came in front of the water. The enemies were there. The pastor was coming looking for them. What they have to do? Lord, what do we do now? The Lord says, march. Step on the water and miracles will happen. Are you connecting with what I'm saying? Are you relating to what I'm saying? Do you remember when the Lord spoke to you, he said, step on the water and the miracles will start to happen? That's the birth. That's the baptism. That's the believing. That is the belonging. That's how we become part of a true communion with God. We need to take a step, and we need to step in the water. The way is the water, the living water. We need to take this step. And when somebody says, oh, no, you don't need to go through the water. You just take the bread and take the wine. It doesn't happen that way. You need to take the step first. And so they cross. They touch the water, and the water opened. If you look in the Bible, that is makes a reference that it says that's how symbolically the whole nation of Israel, after they left Egypt behind them, that's how they were baptized. Symbolically, that's the way they were baptized, the whole nation. They go to the desert. Now they have to go to the mountain because now they have to meet the way, their Savior. Immediately, they fall into sin again. They miss the potatoes, the onions of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, how many of us have stepped in the water, have been baptized, but we keep looking and keep missing the smells of Egypt? I'm going to leave it there. And then they went to the desert. And then they arrived at the Jordan. And at the Jordan, 10 of them rebelled and create a problem and talk about against the leaders, everything else. So they went back to the desert. They know what happened in the desert? They all died except their children. Now, 40 years, they went back to the Jordan again. Now, Yahshua was leading them. The river opened, and the nation of Israel was baptized symbolically again through the Jordan. They got a stone out of the river, and they made an altar in the entrance to the promised land. Are you collecting stones from the water to make your altar, to remind you who you are? And then after that, we see the symbolism between Yahshua, the cross to the promised land with the people of Israel through the waters, and here is the way, saying, this is the way. So when he came to the water, John, I would like to say symbolically, this has no biblical foundation, okay? This is just an opinion for me. I see those two individuals there. I see like one symbolizing Caleb, and another one symbolizes, of course, the Yahshua. The only two that actually went through the whole desert. And by the way, the Bible does say that John the Baptizer, by the way, he's a Seventh-day Adventist, okay? Don't call him Baptist. Don't call him Baptist. He is a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? And so John, he was in a desert. And he came to the Jordan. And when he saw his cousin coming in, he says, no, I cannot baptize you. You have no sin. Jesus says, let all righteousness be fulfilled. Jesus was there to represent you. At all circumstances, in the water, on the cross, he was there to represent you and I. He says, yes, I need to do this. The way, when we were baptized, we died and were buried with Christ. We were baptized so we would live a new life. What life is that? Everlasting life, as Christ was raised to life by the glory of the God the Father. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Common English Version. To be, as Shakespeare says, to be or not to be. We are in the business of be, right? Not to be, but to be. To believe, to behave, and to belong. Many people like to believe. They said that even the devil believes, it trembles. Let me make a correction here. I think this is a kind of mistranslation, misapplication. I don't think the devil actually believes. I think the devil knows. Sometimes people confuse between to know and to believe. You may know something, but you don't act on it as if you believe. Do you know what I'm trying to make a distinction between to know and to believe? Sometimes we know something and we claim that we believe, but we don't, because our actions don't reflect what we know. So let's make a distinction between to know. The devil knows, but he doesn't believe, because his knowledge does not move him into action, into a relationship with God. And so we must believe, we must behave, it must belong. Some people have a problem with the word behave. They think the behave is too legalistic. The Lord accepts us the way we are. Have you heard that before? Yes. Oh, it's everywhere. Oh, please don't discriminate against people about their faith, about what they do, what their choice, and everything else. We are in this lies, deceiving people. Open your Bibles, please. Please, quickly, open your Bibles. It won't be in the screen, because we need to, for you to exercise where you fall asleep on me. So you need to open your Bibles. Open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 7. It's a Sermon of the Mountain. Chapter 7. Look at verse 21, 22, and 23. Okay? Why am I asking you to read this is because I'm going to tell you that Jesus himself made a connection between believe, behave, and belonging. If you read these three verses, you see that Jesus himself has nothing to do with legalism. It's just the path to a relationship with God. Now, if you read there, it says clearly like this. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those who does my Father's will. Here's the behave. And then somebody says, oh, we have done everything. In the name, in your name, we have cast out demons. We have performed miracles. We have done a lot of, we do have a lot of done. We behave good. We believe. Why don't we belong? And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You don't belong. Verse 23, it says clearly, I have no idea who you are. Why? Because you practice iniquity. Meaning, you do not behave as you claim that you behave. Your belief is false. Your behavior is false. Therefore, you do not belong. Some people may say, oh, but if I keep 9 commandments, at least it's 9 is the majority. The scripture says clearly, if you break one, you are a lawbreaker. If you reject one, you reject everyone. Each one of them, all of them. So don't compromise. And by the way, the devil wants you to reject just the one that talks about your creator. He wants you to forget the Abba, the Sabbath. So, not a coincidence there. The truth. We need to look very carefully. The truth. Make them ready for your service. Through your truth. Your teaching is truth. This is a modern version. Some of you may not even know what is this verse. But once that I put down, you're going to find out that you have heard this a lot of times. John 17:17. Easy to read version. Okay, let me give you another version so you can see the same verse. Here it is, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is the one that we know most commonly because of the New King James. All right. Sanctify. Sanctify means prepare them to serve. That's why I use this other version. Make them ready for service. Through your truth, your teaching is truth. Our knowledge must move us into action. Our belief must be practiced, or they are not going to believe. They will be just knowledge. Do you know the difference between a person who is intelligent and a person who is very knowledgeable? A person who is very knowledgeable can do very dumb things. There are people that have a lot of degrees, a lot of knowledge, but they have no brain. They have no smarts. I have seen people, I have known people that have no schooling, no university. But because they went through adversity, they got a better degree. They are wiser than the ones who go to the university. I always tell people, I went through some adversity and gave me the best degrees that I have. Teach me your way, Lord. So that I can walk in your truth. Would all of you read this with me, please? Let's read together. Teach me your way, Lord, so that I can walk in your truth. This is what makes you a believer, to walk in the truth. Make my heart focus only in honoring your name. Abba. Right? Psalms 86, verse 11. This is a common English Bible version. Now, bread and the truth. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, ever. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Here comes the bread, and the truth is the same. When Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, he's saying, I am the bread who sustains you. The truth sustains you. If you eat the truth, you'll be satisfied. John 6:35, Common English Bible. Blood and the life. Now, if you go in Leviticus chapter 17, we're not going to be reading, but you can read this in the afternoon. So when to keep the Sabbath, you're going to go to Leviticus 17, and you're going to see a description of how symbolic and how sacred the blood is. Because the blood is the life in you, okay? For the life of the body is its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. Leviticus 17, verse 11, New Living Translation. Very clear. So when Jesus Christ was saying, I am the way, the water, remember? Baptism, new birth. Then he said, I'm the truth. Remember, that's the bread. That's what sustains you, that makes you grow. And then he says, life, that is the blood of Christ. So we need the three elements to be, yes, birth, body, and blood. That's what it's all about, the three elements. To be the way, the truth, and life. That's what Jesus Christ was saying to us, to instruct us to participate in communion, the three elements. Jesus answered the same verse again, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, the only way. The only way, no Virgin Mary, not Peter, not Teresa. No, she was not a mother. Teresa and all those things, nothing. I'm the only way to the Father. It is through me. John 14, verse 6. This is an easy reading version. Brothers and sisters, the final two verses that I have here, I want you to think about what Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 1. Trust in God. Amen. Trust also in me. Amen. I'm going to separate from you a little bit because I have a mission, he said. I have to go to prepare you a place. That's the only reason why I'm leaving you, is so that I may have you forever. I'm going to prepare a place. And when I have prepared a place, I am coming back. Let me repeat. I am coming back so that where I am, you may be also. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm life. You are nothing if you don't have me. And I want you to be everything that I want you to be. That's why I'm coming back. And this is what it says. I'm coming back, for the scripture says, just a little while longer. Yes, be patient. Is coming, and he who is coming will come. He will not delay. Hebrews 10:37, Good News Translation. And one more verse, brothers and sisters. It says, and behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward, what is the reward? What is the reward? Eternal life. To give to everyone according to their work. Revelation 22, verse 12, New King James Version. I am anxious for my Abba to come. I'm anxious to get my hair back. I'm anxious to receive glorification. I'm anxious to see him restore me into his image. If you don't think I'm good looking now, come meet me at 3 o'clock, the right side of the tree of life. And I want to show you how good looking I am. I just look like him. God bless you. Now let's go into this by saying participation. Christ's invitation. He says when he had finished, Jesus Christ, washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. In other words, he removed some of his clothing to look like a servant. None of them act like a servant, so he decided to be the servant. And he started washing their feet, one by one. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked. Do you understand why the water, why the truth, why life? Do you understand the elements, why they are so vital to have communion? If you understand what I have done for you, he asked them. And then he continues in John 13, verse 12 and 17, he continued, you call me teacher and Lord. Yes, I am. That's what I am. But he said, now that your Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, he says, you also should wash one another's feet. By the way, nowhere in the Bible says that you should wash your own feet. Nowhere in the Bible says that you should go to the Jordan River all by yourself and be baptized. You have always to work with somebody else, because that's what communion is all about. It's about service. Amen. It's not about selfishness. It's about giving. It's not about taking. That's what is the way to eternal life. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the master greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, and all of you do know, you will be blessed if you do them. Are anybody here seeking blessings? Only a few of you. I could see that some of you are. Now blessings are multiplying. Let's see the blessings. Where are the blessings? Yes. It says here, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen. Bring those elements to your life and your life will be eternal. Amen. All right? A person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. Who said that? Jesus said to Peter. Peter says, oh, no, I don't want to, you cannot do this. And Jesus said, if I don't do this, Peter, you have no part with me. You have no communion with me. So he said, oh, wash all the whole thing. Peter is always the extreme. Don't you like Peter? He's always from one extreme to the other. He said, now wash the whole thing. Then Jesus says, what you have been washed, we got. No matter how well we behave, we always get some dust. By the way, when you go to the washing your feet, bring to your memory the day, the first day when you step on the water, on your baptism. The foot washing is a way for you to recommit your life. It's for you to renew your vows. Amen. To renew, says, Lord, thank you, I'm still in the path. I'm still in the way. Keep watching my steps, Lord, because I want to follow you. I want to have the truth. I'm seeking eternal life. So at this time, I'd like to invite our loved church here to the room here, to this side, is where the ladies go. Okay? Then the classes over there, we have the men on the kinder, and then the couples on the cradle roll. All right? If anyone decides to stay here for some reason, this is between you and God. If you decide to stay here and not participate, I ask you please to be reminded that this is not a social hall. This is not where you keep talking about how is your dress, when did you cut your dress, when you did this. This is the sanctuary. This is the Lord's house. Please use reverence. This is the place where the Lord comes every week to meet with his beloved children, you. All right? So at this time, with reverence, let's move to the locations.